Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, wave them at me if you have one. If you don't have one, you're allowed to get on your cell phone and find one. Amen. But find the King James. Somebody say amen. Amen. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 23. We've sang a lot about the resurrection, and we should. But I want to take you somewhere this morning. We weren't able to have our passion played this year, but next year we will. But I am going to kind of show you this morning the passion of our Lord Jesus. Luke 23:33, if you're there, say amen. Amen. And when they were come to the place, it's actually the place of all places, which is called Calvary. There they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Verse 35 is the verse I'll be spending time on, so I want you to pay real good attention as I read it, especially one word. And the people stood, and this is a fascinating word, beholding. The rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I want you to notice verse number 35, and I'll try to be brief, but I do want to get the whole message. We start just a few minutes late. Verse 35, and said, the people stood beholding. I think all of you probably watch athletics and have seen on the football field people like Alex Smith. I don't know if you've seen that injury. And just his bone bursted open and went through the flesh. And if you remember, if you're a Cowboy fan, you remember Dak Prescott and that dislocated ankle, and all the players went by and they bowed their head and they was praying. Maybe some of you like me, I was on my way to Myrtle Beach several years ago when they hadn't finished all the road. We went on the road there next to Ellerbury, North Carolina, and that was the worst automobile accident I've ever seen in my life. About 8 cars, a couple semis, and literally, there was pieces of body all over the road. And when I looked at it, and I'll never forget that day. I was, like this word said, beholding. I was nervously, the word means nervously upset. I was emotionally disturbed. The word goes on and says, I was strongly affected by a vent. Oh, dear God. Or a circumstance. The word goes on and means to be emotionally unsettled. But really the word means to be shocked. To be shook up. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I'm not talking about an automobile accident. I'm not talking about being into the hospital and seeing someone pull the plug. I'm not talking about a basketball player and his injury. But this morning I'm going to look at the most gruesome, the most traumatizing, the most emotionally affected event in all of history. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning I am going to discuss with you the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. By this time in the passage, he already had his crown of thorns. He had already been thrashed and beaten with a cat of nine tails. Doctors say that he suffered every flesh wound common to man. He was examined by Pilate, tried by Caiaphas, condemned by his own. And then they took him, nailed his hands, and nailed his feet upon the cross. He wasn't just a good man, although he was. And he was not just an innocent man, although he was. And he was not just a benevolent man, although he was. And he wasn't just a kind man, although he was. And he wasn't just a forgiving man, although he was. And he wasn't just a gracious man, although he was. And he wasn't just a loving man, although he was. But on the cross, they placed the God-man. He was 100% God and 100% man. He came into this world without a body, was conceived by the Holy Ghost in the womb of Mary. Somebody help me preach. He was tempted by the devil. He chose 12 disciples. One of them was a devil. Three couldn't stay awake. And eight of them argued most of the time who would be the greatest. But it never stopped him from cleansing the leper, causing the blind to see, raising the dead and casting out devils. And now they were watching. And I got to tell you, church, I got a little time this week to go driving around a little bit. And as I was traveling in my car this week, in my mind, I traveled back to Jerusalem. I really did not find any more details. I didn't discover anything new, but in a fresh way, in an all-consuming way. Brother Dave, that word beholding, I got all shook up. I have to tell you that I was shook from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, inwardly and outwardly. I was shook up. And I'll say this. If we get some preachers shook up, they'd preach different. If we get some choir people shook up, they'd sing different. If we get some Christians shook up, they'd give different. If we get some sinners shook up, they'd get saved if they respond right. Now I want you to stay with my dear Lord, have mercy. I got a lot of preaching in a short time, so stay with me. There was five different groups here watching at Calvary, and they were all shook up. And by the way, I would say my soul, there's probably all five in this congregation. I would say, if I'm saying it right, on live stream right now, thousands of people are watching this message, and there's probably all five of these attitudes out there right now. And I want to discover them if I can. I want you to look with me. First of all, I want you to notice the malefactor, the soldiers, and the ruler, or the one thief and the soldiers and the ruler. And I want you to notice, number one, they were there watching and shocked in disrespectful skepticism. Verse 35 said, their senseless derision, they were mocking and insulting. You know, I don't want to say too much, but I think I'm going to say a little bit. You know, we're living in one of the most gross, inhuman times of ever. And we got people that just literally are mocking Christianity. And by the way, I may not agree with all the faiths that are worshiping this morning, and I probably don't. But I want you to know this morning, I'm not mocking them. I'm not making fun of them. I'm not making light of them. That's not what Easter is all about. It's about Jesus. Man, I'll tell you, sometimes I need to get away from social media. They even got groups out there right now that are watching independent fundamental preachers. And they're watching their whole sermon. And then maybe in a little clip, they'll find something that they don't like or something that is amusing or something that's kind of, you could take it if you took it out of the whole message and mock people. And for the life of me, I don't understand why anybody would want to spend their life mocking somebody and ridiculing somebody. That's what they done to the Lord Jesus. That's what they done to our Savior. Somebody help me preach. And then I see sarcastic disbelief. If thou be the Christ, if thou be the King. Hey friend, it's not if. He is King. He is Lord. He is our coming Lord. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And then one of the thieves in verse 39 had a selfish demand. If you're who you say are, just get on off the cross and save me and save the rest of us. I want y'all to know something, ladies and gentlemen. He could not bypass the cross. He could not take a shortcut. He had to suffer and die for us. But then I see a second person beholding, and that's the other thief. Boy, I tell you, I'm about to get happy. And in him, he was beholding and he was shocked. And I seen desperate supplication. The other woman, he even rebuked his buddy. It's something when sinners rebuke each other. He even kind of said, shut your mouth. Because see, he had an instinctive reverence. Dost thou not fear God? Ladies and gentlemen, if I could do anything for you this morning, I would like for every one of us to be reverent again of Almighty God. He is more than a swear word. He's more than a curse word. He is the Son of the living God. He is resurrected this morning. He's alive today. Then I see an intuitive realization. Hey, we're guilty up here, but he ain't done nothing wrong. And I want all y'all to look at me this morning. Jesus Christ didn't sin, and he couldn't sin, and he wouldn't sin. Somebody help me. You said, why couldn't he sin? Because he wouldn't. And why wouldn't he? Because he couldn't. Because he was the God-man. Whew. Somebody help me. I'm about to get loose here. Then I seen an inward repentance. He said, we're here because we deserve to be here. I want to look at you this morning. You're not going to be saved until you repent. I know it's not preached much. I know it's not glamorous, but I still believe repentance and faith is necessary to get into the kingdom of God. And he repented. And then his intense request. Boy, this wouldn't make the Baptist prayer list. This wouldn't be way most Baptists would do it. He didn't even have a good prayer. He didn't have an articulated prayer. He just said this, remember me. Hey, you know what you need to do this morning? You're lost. You're on your way to hell. You need to cry out in repentance and say, Lord, remember me. And I see an incredible result. I'm about to get shouting right here. They were having a conversation. I know there's other faiths that said you can't have a conversation with God if you're dead in sin, but he was having one. And the Lord looked at him. Oh, I'm about ready to get shouting here. You know what the Lord said to him? Today, not tomorrow. Not after probation, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. That thief died, enter into Abraham's bosom. 3 days later, he got up out of Abraham's bosom and left there, and now is in the third heaven with the Lord. Somebody help me preach. I'm trying to hurry. Okay, Jeff. Thank God he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Thank God that God commended his love toward us, and while we yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. But look at your Bible down to verse 47. Please look, please notice. I didn't read this portion. And then there's a third person that's watching. He was a centurion. He was a powerful man. If you read all four Gospels, Dave, he saw he saw the veil rent from top to bottom. He saw the Lord say, "It is finished." He saw the Lord say, "Into thine hands I commend my spirit." The Bible said in verse 47, he saw. He had a discerning perception. You know what? I'm slowing down some. You know what I want? I want every one of you in this auditorium just to take a look at Calvary. Take a look at Christ. Don't look at religion. Don't look at denominationalism. Don't look at our failures. We are. But look at him. Pilate himself said, I find no fault in him. Then he had declared praise. Boy, glory to God. You said what he said. He said, glory to God. A Roman centurion up there to help in the crucifixion by faith. Discern Christ. By faith, realized that he was lost. By faith, must have just trusted God. Because I tell you, you can't trust God and glorify him at the same time. You got to have it. Somebody help me preach. Y'all still with me? Wave at me if you are. Then I seen a distinct persuasion. Look what he said. He said this was a righteous man. Ladies and gentlemen, this centurion never seen a righteous man. This centurion never laid his eyes on a righteous man. But when he looked at the cross, he said, there's a righteous man. He that knew no sin bore my sin. He became sin for me. What's that mean? If you're an adulterer, he was an adulterer. If you were a drug addict, he became a drug addict. If you're an alcoholic, he became an alcoholic. If you're an abuser, he became an abuser. That you can have the righteousness of God. I want y'all to stay with me. I'm almost done. Look at verse 48. Lois, you remember the passion and how you portrayed it. You had that crowd. We might put a new scene in it next year. I'll let you at least think about it. Because this amazed me because I really didn't see it. That same crowd that said, crucify him and desired him to die and mocked him and spit on him. I want you to look at them now in verse 48. Chad, here's what the Bible said about him. And all the people that came together to that sight, the same ones that crucified him, the same ones that mocked him, the same ones that spit on him. Here's what it said. Beholding the things which were done. I'm going to try this. Help me. Here, give me a little of this. They smote their breast. They smote it. They smote the breast. They smote it. You say, who? What happened? They had deep sorrow. They had ordered it. Here's what I think they were thinking. We may have got this wrong. I want you to know something. You can get just about anything wrong. And it doesn't matter if you are wrong once in a while. But there's one thing you don't want to get wrong. And that is that he's Savior. That is that he is Lord. That is that he came to die for you. You might get it all wrong, but don't get that wrong this morning. Here's what they did. They spout their breast. They had deep sorrow. Clear recognition. I believe he's who he said he was. Consequential regret. The cross is more than a sad movie. I remember the first time I saw The Passion of Christ. I didn't go with a church group. I did it on purpose. I went when all it was a bunch of sinners and some Christians to that passion. And I watched them in that movie. When they saw the death and saw the bleeding and saw all that, and that terrible scourging. If you went to that movie when sinners were there, guess what I saw? A bunch of them just crying like a baby. I saw one particular man, about 70 years old, crying like a baby. And for some reason, I passed him out into the hallway when he came back out. And the same guy that was crying like a baby cursed once he got out. I want you to know something. I'm not playing on your feelings this morning. I'm not trying to stir your emotion this morning. The Holy Ghost of God is trying to get your attention. Get saved before it's too late. Receive him before it's too late. Trust God before it's too late. You need him this morning. Get him in your heart before it's too late. Amen. And lastly, I'm dying. I have to hurry. Then I want to introduce you to one last guy. His name was Joseph of Arimathea. And him I seen deliberate specificity. The Bible said he was sincere, a good man. The Bible said he must have been saved because he was a just man. And he had a separated persuasion. Look at verse 51. The same had not consented to the counsel and the deed of them. Here's what happened. You know what Joseph done? He was a part of the council. He was a Pharisee, most likely. And when they took a vote to crucify him, guess what he done? He had enough guts to say no. And you know, young person, mom and dad, we need to say no to sin, no to debauchery, no to a wicked life. I'm heading around third. I see specific plea. Pilate, verse 52, give me his body. He said, why did he want his body? Because he meant so much to him. You know, if there's some young people here, if he means so much to you, won't you start a Bible club in your school? If you're here this morning, if he means so much to you, won't you get a track out this morning out of the racks back there and take it and give it somebody this week? When the cross starts shaking you up, we won't have to look for you to volunteer. You'll say, Pastor, can I teach that class? Pastor, can I sing? Pastor, can I teach? Pastor, can I drive a bus? Then I've seen special preparation. I'm almost done. And he took it down and took the body and he wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone wherein never man had laid. You know what Joseph done? I'm done. He gave the Lord his best. See, our Savior does not deserve our leftovers. He's creator. He's king. And it was a sacrificial price. He bought the spices and bought the tomb. I'll tell you what is missing in real Christianity today. We've made it so much like entertainment. We have glossed over our religion. We need some people again to say, he does not need my leftovers. He don't need my junk. He needs my all. He needs everything I got. How many in this room believe he's worth it? How many in this room believe he came from the grave? How many in this room he changed your life? Then don't give him leftovers. Give him all you have. Somebody get ready to sing for me. I wish I could sing this song. He did it all for me. Each drop of blood he shed, he did for me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many this morning know that you're saved? Because there was a day you trusted Christ. Will you raise your hand? Hold them up. If you don't raise them. Thank you. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I don't know I'm saved. But before I die, before the Lord comes, I want to know. Man, it was something how he loved me, wasn't it? Yes, it was. How many not saved? Just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. You're not sure. Slip it up. God bless that hand. Somebody else. Not saved. Just slip it up. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Come on. Come on. I've never been saved, preacher. I never trusted Christ. But this morning, I took a look at him. I'm shocked that he would do that. I am shocked that he would bleed and die and be bruised for me. It shocked me. I mean, right now, say, preacher, I'm not saved, but I need to be. Slip your hand up. Maybe you're not sure you're saved. Just slip your hand up. Say, boy, I don't want to leave lost. Stand with me. God spoke to you this morning. You come. Father, thank you for this good morning. draw sinners. Help them not just to smoke their breast and be sorrowful, but help them actually have godly sorrow that worketh repentance. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you coming?
Alas, you ought to be here. And